It was many years ago now when I started working at a fast food restaurant in Winnipeg. It was one of my favorite jobs. The ownership of the place had changed hands sometime after I'd been there. And a new guy came who took over the restaurant. He had tons of experience in the high-end industry of fine dining, but he had little or no experience in a fast food joint. So I really enjoyed, in a way, training my boss. And we had a wonderful time, a great relationship, and I think he enjoyed having me there as well. But one of the things I really appreciated about my boss was the fact that I knew that he would always back me up. If I made a decision or did something, if I had to deal with customers in a not so proper way, perhaps, or nice way, he would back me up. I knew I could count on him. He put a lot of trust in me, and I really appreciated that so much. In the Old Testament book of Joshua, chapter 1, we find that God is hiring a new man for the job, so to speak. For many years, the leader had been Moses. Moses had led the people through thick and thin, mostly thin. He had led them through some very troubled waters. But the time came when Moses was dead, and God was about to give the job of leadership to a new person, Joshua. I'm not sure how Joshua felt about it. I wouldn't be surprised if he was a little unsure about himself. You know, anytime you get a new job, it's always scary at first. You're not entirely sure what you're going to do. It's very overwhelming. Well, this morning I want us to take a look here in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9, and take a look at what assurances God gave to Joshua as Joshua was called upon for a new job. This is what it says. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give you to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give to them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua was about to embark on a whole new and frightening experience. Yes, he had been Moses' aide, but that was something else. Now God was giving him the job of leadership, and the message that God is bringing across to Joshua in this passage, in short, is, I've got your back, Joshua. Stick with me, because I'm watching over you, and I will lead you. In verse 6, God said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. You will lead these people. In verse 7, The Lord said the same thing. Be strong and very courageous, that you may be successful wherever you go. And then in verse 9, one of our favorites, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will go with you wherever you go. I think that's wonderful. It's fantastic. It's great news for Joshua. But on the other hand, this is the part that I was thinking about earlier on. When someone tells you three times to be strong and courageous, I'm starting to get the feeling that something was up. I'd start to get a little worried, perhaps. You know, I could imagine thinking after hearing it three times, why do I need to be so strong and courageous? What's coming next? What do I have to deal with? I'm not sure I like this idea. Turns out that God knew what trials Joshua would face. God knew that the enemies he would be facing, he would have to overcome. God knew the doubts that might come into his mind as he faced different difficult situations, wondering perhaps if God was really leading him and calling him. And I believe that as God repeats this message several times, God wants Joshua to know that when the trials come, when things happen that don't necessarily make sense, when the enemy seems like it's getting the upper hand, or when everything is looking upside down, that Joshua needs to remember, you need to get this straight, God is telling Joshua, that I've got your back, I'm watching over you. When things are going fairly smoothly, it's not difficult to enjoy the presence of God and know that God is in control, and hallelujah. We're happy, we're content, we don't have very many complaints, things are going well, but you know it doesn't stay that way. It seldom does it? And then God comes along and says to Joshua three times, be strong and courageous. It's like, something is up, something's going to happen. It's when difficulty comes that we learn who or what a person leans on for strength. It's when challenges come that we find out what is really real and what a person really believes about God and his provision and his care for us. I have a quote I want to show you on our overhead from Hudson Taylor, missionary to China. He once said this. He said, many Christians estimate difficulty in the light of their own resources, and thus they attempt very little and they always fail. All spiritual giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on his power and his presence to be with them. And that's the lesson I believe that God is trying to teach to Joshua. Moses had been one of those men. You'll remember when God first called Moses, how reluctant Moses was. You know, he came up with every excuse in the book that he shouldn't be hired for that job. It was somebody else that should do that job. But it's because he felt inadequate that God was able to work through him, his will and his purpose, and through his strength. It's because he felt inadequate, Moses knew that it would have to be God who is doing the work. And that's the truth that God wants Joshua to understand as well in these passages. That it would be God who would be leading him. God who would be giving him strength, giving him courage to face the challenges that come his way. It wasn't his strength. It wasn't his brilliance. It was God who was going to be leading him. God who was going to be giving him strength. And it's all according to the commands of God. Notice that there, the Lord says to Joshua, have I not commanded you? This is important. This is coming from God. This isn't a fabrication in Joshua's mind. Hey, I want to be the top leader now. Now that Moses is gone, I'm going to get in charge. I'm going to be the head honcho. I'm going to lead the people. You're going to have to listen to me now. This wasn't Joshua's plan. This wasn't Joshua's desire. The Lord commands him, says it, have I not commanded you? It was the Lord who was doing the commanding. It was God who would be in control. It was God who would be providing and watching over every battle. Yes, Joshua would be the upfront man, with all the responsibilities that come with that. But he was to be the leader under a commander, and that was the Lord himself. Joshua wasn't running the program. It was God. God wanted Joshua to be very clear about that. Joshua would be serving under God himself and relying on God to provide the resources, and that's so very important. You know, it boils down to this. If our strength, if our courage, if our ability depends on ourselves, how strong I am, how smart I am, how capable I am, that might work for a little while, but sooner or later, someone is going to come along who is stronger, smarter, more capable, or whatever else. Sooner or later, Joshua would have been defeated if he depended on his strength. It would have been a matter of time. However, if our strength and our courage is coming from the Lord, all of a sudden that becomes an entirely different story. It all depends on who we are leaning on. Are we leaning on ourselves as we face the trial, as we go into battle, as we lead the people? Or are we listening and obeying the Lord our God? And the promise of God is that he will lead us. He will provide. He will be our strength. And all of that is so true and so vital for us today. But it comes with an expectation. Here we are. There's the expectation. When I worked back in that restaurant in Winnipeg that I've told you about, my boss didn't just give me responsibilities and trust me to do the job just because, you know, he liked me for whatever reason. He also had expectations. He had lots of expectations. And when we go back in Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 to 8, God is giving Joshua a whole lot of confidence and support and strength and courage and all those good promises, but God also gives Joshua his expectations. The promise that God gives to Joshua is not without expectations. God isn't writing some blank check here. He says in verse 7 and 8, he says, be careful to obey all the law. He says, do not turn from it to the right or to the left. He says, do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. He says, meditate on it day and night. He says, be careful to do everything written in it. God has lots of expectations upon Joshua. It's not simply a matter of, hey, yeah, you're the man, go for it. Not worried about it, you do whatever you think. I'll back you up. God has all kinds of expectations in those two verses, just two verses. In those two verses, God said in five different ways that Joshua needs to stick with God's word, the law. God needs to obey the commands. Five times, as the leader of the Israelites, God expected Joshua to set the example. The truth of the matter is, it's so easy for us to go off target. I think that's why God emphasized this so much with Joshua. Meditate, stay on it, be careful. Don't turn away. Don't let it depart from your mouth. Do everything that's written in it. Because it's so easy for us to compromise on that. Last Sunday, I spoke, one of the things I spoke about was on the importance of integrity. It would be so easy to get up one morning for Joshua and to say, oh, I'm having a bad day today. The camels were noisy. They didn't let me sleep all night. I just don't have time to meditate on God's word today. There's some problems. Joshua might be tempted to say, well, you know, I've kept most of the law. After all, I'm only human. Or I've done better than other people. Surely I could be excused for this one little thing. As if he was helping himself to an extra piece of cake or something, you know. Joshua had to set an example. He had to fulfill the expectations that God had for him. Regardless of how tempting it might have been to compromise. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Stay on that narrow path. It wasn't enough for Joshua to know the book of the law. He had to follow it. That, my friends, is integrity. It kind of reminds me of what was said in James chapter 1, verse 22. Where it says there, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Don't just read it and say, oh, that's nice. Oh, that's so good. Yes, I think that's a great idea. Scripture says, do what it says. And that's what God is reminding Joshua. You need to do. I'm going to back you up. I'm going to be watching your back. I'm going to be behind you. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to open doors for you. I'm going to all these things. But you need your part too, buddy. Mr. Joshua. I don't think God would call him Mr. Joshua. We know that God is willing to hear us when we come to him. But there are times when our disobedience causes a separation, not because God doesn't want to hear us, but it causes us to be separated from God. That's what sin does. It always separates. It always divides. In Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2, we're reminded there, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear you. That's what sin does. That's what disobedience does. That's what going our own way does. When we think we know better than God, when we think that God, you'll just have to make an exception for me in this one case. And that is why God repeated it 5 times in those 2 verses, not to let God's word depart from his heart and mind. To be careful to obey, to stick with it, not to go off track in any way. And friends, I have to say, that's an important word for us as well. We like the part about, you know, God will watch over you and provide and lead you and got nothing to worry about. We like that. But we kind of overlook the part where God also tells us, do not merely read the word, listen to the word, do what it says. We need to submit our will to God. We need to submit our decisions to God's word. We need to bend our thoughts to God's word, not bend God's word to fit our thoughts. It's only after the expectation that Joshua would have to be careful to follow God's law is given, it's only after that that God gives that assurance in verse 9 that we so love to hang on to. Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will go with you wherever you go. And friends, there is no greater source of security than to know that God has your back. He is watching over you. Nothing is as reassuring as that. Nothing gives us that kind of peace except what comes from God. And I want to encourage you this morning. And I realize that God isn't calling you to lead a nation out of the wilderness into the promised land. But the truth is that the principles that applied for Joshua, the principles that Joshua learned, are the same principles we need in order to get through our wilderness experiences. Perhaps today you are facing discouragement. Maybe there's a big question in your life. It could be that there's some danger ahead or a trial you are going through, that some uncertainty perhaps. Or maybe God has been giving you a task that seems too much, and you feel like saying, God, I don't know if I can do that. Maybe you're just feeling the pressure. Temptation all around. The world doesn't make it easy. Around every corner, it's there in your face. And what I want to encourage you with this morning is simply this, that when you live your life in submission to the commands and teachings of God, when we determine to do things His way and not only hear God's word, but do what it says, live according to it, even when it's hard, especially when it's hard, when we live lives of integrity, surrendered unto Jesus, we can go forward in full confidence, no matter what comes our way, knowing that God has our back. Just as God told Joshua to go forward in strength and courage, and just as Paul wrote with confidence, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength, so also today, here and now, I want to assure you that you are able to face whatever today or tomorrow brings, as hard as it may be, when God has your back. I believe God would say to you, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I want to encourage you this morning to present yourself before the Lord in prayer, where you're seated or where you are with us online. And just again, offer yourself to the Lord, your God, and say, Lord, I am here because of you. I trust in you. I will yield my life to you. I will yield my decisions to your will. I will walk in accordance to your word. And as we do that, I have full confidence that God will bring that same assurance to you. Be strong, be courageous, do not be terrified. I will go with you wherever you go. What a beautiful promise and assurance that is for us today. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do come to you this morning. And Lord, I know just how much we need you day by day. And Lord, I pray that as we consider our own lives and your calling for us, I pray, Father God, that you would help us to be a people who walk in obedience to you, to your word, not to the logic of this world, not to the leanings of the heart that could lead us easily astray, but according to your word. And I pray, Father God, that as we do that, Lord, you would reveal to us how you would have us to go. Walk with us, guide us, lead us, strengthen us. And Lord, if there's anyone here this morning or with us online who is going through a particularly difficult situation where they need that strength, they need that courage, they don't know what tomorrow will bring, I pray, Father God, that as they come to you, that you would give to them the same peace and assurance and hope as you gave to Joshua and you give to us today. We pray this now. In Jesus' name, amen.